Hot mic.
Now we're recording.
Do we headphones or?
Well, yes. What is it? What's Marin tell his guests?
You don't have to.
You don't have to, but wear them, okay? Don't be a jackass. I think that's what Marin
said. Oh, I've never done Marin's.
Marin did ours. Marin did this one.
Did he do well?
Yeah, he pretty much told me how it was going to be, and he made me feel good, actually, because
it's
he's
probably one of the most infamous podcasts.
Pretty famous.
Oh, wait, whoa.
Number 32. Yeah.
Whoa, infamous.
It was, Jess and I had just broken up, or pretty close to the time.
A few months.
But, and Marin and I have always kind of, I mean, even before he started his podcast, he'd come on the show, and we'd, you know, kind of pal around, and and, you know, I pity the comedians who come by. No, and we were sort of friends, and I asked him to do the podcast, and he came in, and there was, if you listen back to the, and I've listened to it probably three or four times, Jess and I kind of break up again right in front of him, and he figures the whole thing out for us and tells us, you know, there's life after a breakup and all this. I mean, it was...
oh, wow.
But it was a pretty good...
Mark's just being Mark, spouting off, kind of looking, right. just talking, but he's not realizing he is hitting them both between the eyes.
Right, but I had not told very many people at this point that we'd broken up, and he didn't even know we had really been engaged or lived together or anything. And he was like, wait a minute, are you two... Did you two just break up? And he kind of figured it out during the broadcast. And now, see, I can't... I'm looking for music. And now
what kind of music are we playing?
Well, what do you like? What is it, other than... What's his name? I don't even know who that guy is.
Solomon Burke.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, it's one of the greatest... you know Al Green? You know Sam Cooke?
Yeah, I know those guys.
All influenced by Solomon Burke.
Solomon Burke was first. Do you have Solomon?
They were
Burke?
At no, the same Burke. Time.
I think you might be making up Solomon Burke.
Burke.
B-U-R-K-E?
Yep. I got it on my phone.
That's what I'm playing it off of. Hang on. I gotta go back to... Oh, there it is. So I type in Solomon. Burke comes up.
You know the song, the big song in the Blues Brothers?
Oh, okay.
He wrote that.
Oh.
He had like 23 kids. Lived to be in his 90s or performing into his 80s or 90s. Just died recently. I mean, the songs are amazing. Solomon Burke's Greatest Hits is the album you'll start with.
The very best of Solomon Burke.
Yeah, that's probably the best title.
You can play a sample, right?
I can. And I don't have to give Solomon any money.
Oh, damn it.
Should I go ahead and buy this?
It would be divided by... He has 90 grandkids, so...
How many...
Are these...
No, it's
seriously.
True. It's 23 kids and 90 grandkids.
Wow.
The everybody needs somebody to love. Somebody to love.
Yeah,
the Blues Brothers one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. It's asking for my iTunes password.
Here's what I don't like about this. Sometimes you can use your fingerprint, and then sometimes it still asks you for your password. It doesn't make no sense to me.
It doesn't make no sense. I don't get it.
Jack White released a new single.
Well, which is
just
it?
Instrumental. No. Let's go Solomon Burke.
All right. I like Jack White, too, though. Which one? If you need me, just reach out.
What kind of mood are you in?
I'm melancholy, oddly enough. kind of a sad...
Kind of a sad mood?
Yeah. Do I want to be sadder? Pick me up. I want something to pick me up, Tommy.
Let me look through the titles.
Soul Meeting. I wish I knew how it would feel to... Someone is watching. Oh, that kind of sounds paranoid. I'm not sure.
Do neither one of you have a case for your phone?
I do not have a case.
I know. I have to take my case out because of this antiquated...
I don't.
Jack won't reach.
I don't like a case. I got the big case. I'm going to drop my phone a lot case.
That's Joe List. We'll talk to him there. We'll introduce
once
him
we
properly.
Get the podcast
a lot of these are
started.
The love songs.
Wait a minute. Here we go. We're just
Gotta Get You Off My Mind would be a fun one.
Gotta Get You Off My Mind. Oh, okay. I see that one.
Off my mind.
Here it comes. It's going to start any minute.
Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute. Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
Some folks' love is hard and strong.
I like his voice.
That's the kind of love that lingers on. Some folks' love is swift and fast. That's the kind of love that'll never last. But we had a love that was in between.
This is all past tense, Tommy. Hi, I'm Chick McGee. This is the Off the Air Podcast. Thank you for downloading it. And remember your assignment. Tell 10 friends. It's like the old Pantene That's commercial. Why. And they'll tell 10 friends and then tell 10. Yeah. I know it's just a matter of time. 90 grandkids, Tommy?
I believe that's the number I heard.
As you can hear, our guest, one of our guests this time is the one, the only Tommy Jonigan. Hi, Tommy.
Well, hello, Chick.
Jess is taking this, taking a break. This podcast, she's taking this one off.
She brought popcorn.
She brought me cheese popcorn and then had to jet out. She had a cat in the oven or had to put the cake out or something. So she'll be back next episode. And we welcome a new guest. Tommy, this is your second appearance on the Fabulous Off the Air podcast. Thank you. And you told me you were bringing a friend with you this time, and you asked me if it was okay. And I said, I guess.
I remember.
And here he is.
Hello.
The famous Joe List.
Joe List.
I am unfamous.
When I say your name, I keep hearing in my head Joe Mama or Joe. Yeah. Whenever I hear the name Joe, I think Joe.
One of the stories I like is Joe with the host for the show. Hmm? When he asked for your intro.
My name, that yeah. one? Oh, that one. One of the first shows early on in my comedy career, a guy asked, he's like, what's your name? And I said, it's Joe List, L-I-S-T. Because a lot of people think it's Liss.
I remember said, this story. Did you tell me about this?
I probably did.
Yeah.
I said, it's Joe List, L-I-S-T. And then he brought me up. Ladies and gentlemen, your next comedian is Joe List, I-L-S-D. Which is a very, very Latino sounding name.
Wow.
Joe List, L-I-S-T.
Yeah, List, L-I-S-T.
Wow. So, yeah, I want to ask Tommy, exciting. Is he kind of your Josh Arnold?
What does that mean?
I'm referring to Greg Warren.
Greg Warren has a Josh Arnold, so now...
How's Josh Arnold, Greg's
kind of
Josh
his,
Arnold?
Kind of Robin to Batman, I think. Kind of a sidekick, kind of a...
Oh, yeah. I would say Joe...
You drag
unless
him
it's
around.
Negative.
Yeah. No, it's positive.
I don't want to insult Joe here.
Isn't Robin gay and weird and weak?
Are you asking me if Joe is my guy that eats all the time?
Because I am gay and weird and weak, if that's what you're asking.
Joe is Josh Arnold. To me,
you take Joe.
We work together
as often as you can, or you insist
as often
on
as I can. Okay. Joe also headlines clubs, so when he headlines, if he headlines a club that I work, I'll have to find another guy to come and open for me. But sometimes I'm lucky enough that schedule works out. He gets to come with me and open. He's hilarious.
Thank you.
Very hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But I like somebody that makes you work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now,
do you have the meeting with him that I've heard that some, I know you don't, that's why I'm asking you this. There are some comedians who go, look, you other comedians, listen to me. You can't use the word, don't use fuck, don't say anything about magic.
That eliminates this whole act right there. Those two things.
I actually do magic in my act.
I never understood that because if you're funny... Yeah, I mean, you don't care what Joe does, right?
Well, here's the thing is I try to work with Joe because I know he's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
His stuff is well-written.
Thank you.
He presents a clean appearance.
If there's any cursing, it's not too crazy. If it's dirty, it's not too dirty. You know, it's one of those things where if I were just taking, you know, here's the club, they book me. They don't think about the show a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's not my favorite thing to do, to go up after a guy who's been filthy. Or high energy, that's another thing. And then also, if somebody, this happens, some guys are just pretty awful. And then I don't like to follow bad.
No.
Because then the audience is like, bad is good. Right. And then you go up and you're trying to be good, and they're like, well, this is bad.
This is bad. It's opposite. And
if you let someone go up for 25 minutes and the audience can shut their brain off.
Yeah.
And still enjoy the show, then when I get up there, I'm not doing geometry, but I'd like your brain to be on.
Right.
And if someone just lets them go in cruise control for 25 minutes without thinking, then it's a hard transition.
But some guys have the philosophy, if the guy's, you know, mediocre to bad, once I get up there, they're ready to laugh. They're wanting to laugh because they haven't laughed like in a half an hour. I've heard that theory
far more than I've heard what you're saying.
I prefer someone to go up there and be smart mm-hmm. and funny and kind of match, you know, my energy a little above or a little below, but not crazy energy. Mm-hmm. I like them to be smart, super funny, super well-written and tight, to where the audience is just like, this is great. I love this guy. This is my favorite. You know, sometimes they'll go and, you know, Joe does so well that I can tell people think that they're like, well, this is the show. Tommy must have gotten sick. This is the headliner. This is the headliner.
I think sometimes I'll do shows in New York. There's like bringer shows where it's like a newer comic has to bring eight people to get on.
Oh, I like this term. I wasn't aware of the term.
Yeah, yeah.
A bringer show.
Okay. A bringer. And so
I've heard of the process, but I didn't know it had the name.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll do like a paid spot in the middle so that people don't all leave because they see a bunch of these bringer comics. So I think if everyone's doing like a showcase show where everyone's doing like 6 minutes and they see like three of the worst comics ever, right, and then you come out, they're like, this guy is a genius.
Right.
So it kind of works in that. But in a three-person show, I think if you have like a guy doing 25 who really sucks, they blame you when you come out. They're mad. Come out there and they're like, we hate you because we hated that last guy so much.
It's also if someone sucks for 25 minutes.
Right.
I think someone can be a bad comic and do well for 25 minutes. I think someone can be a bad comic and do great for 25 minutes. And then also you can be bad and then just suck for 25 minutes. So if someone goes up there for 25 minutes and the crowd isn't laughing, then when you get up there, you have no benefit of the doubt. They're like, I'm going to need to see something out of you, fella. It's kind of like, do it.
You know, I was always of the mind, and Jimmy Pardo actually made me change my opinion on this. I didn't believe there was such a thing as a bad audience.
I think there is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he clearly made the point. Obviously, there are bad audiences.
There's definitely bad audiences. And it's a thing of, if I watch Joe and if the audience isn't giving him what I think they should, I don't give up on him, but I go, you know, this isn't, because it's good comedy. If I watch someone and they're bad mm-hmm. and the audience isn't enjoying it, I'm like, well, obviously they're not. This person's not good.
They're smart.
Or if someone's real bad and they're just murdering, I just want to be like, yeah, I'm going to leave.
But
We'll do this again tomorrow.
It's famous on the show, and I will never tell who it is. But Jess and I went to see a comedian, we went to see the middle, Ryan Dalton, who we think is very funny. Yeah. But the headliner is, and he went up, and he was just, people are vomiting, they're laughing so hard, and we're just sitting there going, how is this guy getting laughs? We just didn't understand
it. I'm going to need to know this name after the podcast.
When we're off the air, off the air.
When we're not on the air.
We might be. That's another podcast.
Is that a whole other podcast?
Off the air, off the air.
We don't know.
That's just you. That's just you hosting.
That's just you going, look, hi, I'm Jason. And
It's just you at home watching Breaking Bad. It's off the air, off the air.
One time, talking about following people, reminds me of a story. I got hired to do a bachelor party in New York City. It was like great. It was when I first moved there, and I hired my buddy Mike Vecchione. I don't know if you know Mike Vecchione.
He's great.
He's great. And I hired him. I was like, they just wanted a half hour, but I was like, I'll get Mike to do like 8 minutes in front of me just so I can get a proper intro. Because a lot of times when non-comics introduce you, they'll say your name first, or it'll just be weird.
I've seen it.
So I brought Mike up, and he just killed so hard for like 8 minutes. And he's like, all right, that's all my time. And before he could introduce me, which is all I was paying him for, was to introduce me, the guy running the bachelor party ran up on stage, took the mic from me. He's like, that was Mike Vecchio. And they go, they go crazy. And he goes, we didn't even hire that guy. He goes, imagine how good your actual comic is going to be.
Oh.
Here he is, your real comedian, Joe List. So they just dismissed him, and he had just murdered.
Oh.
And I just ate shit. Oh, it was horrible. Until after like 10 minutes in, I started making fun of them, and that kind of got him.
Oh, this real comedian's shitty.
Yeah.
But do you think, there are things I laugh at that civilians, normal people, you know what I mean? I mean, do you think your comedic sense is a little bit more finely?
I can laugh at stuff that I don't think is brilliant, but I can also see when I feel like someone's being, it's a trick or it doesn't make sense. A lot of problems with some comedy is it just logically doesn't make any sense. It's like, why would you do that to the dog? Everybody's laughing, but I'm like, that's not even a real thing.
Not even a real word you just used there.
Yeah. So, and you know, like, there's so many tricks and so many lowest common denominator things you can do with stand up, and I don't like, you know, people have called me or said that my act is smart or intelligent. I've never tried to make it that. I try to not sound like an idiot. I would be embarrassed if I sounded like an idiot. And I think that's one of the biggest things is I don't enjoy as much comedy as I did before I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
But when I do enjoy it, I enjoy it so much more. Like, the bad has become intolerable, and the good has been like, this is great. Yeah. I got to watch this. It makes, you know, refined my palate? That may not be the way to say
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah.
Sure. Mm.
See, but because I've never gotten, this is going to seem out of left field, but it's my podcast. I went to see that documentary, Tim's Vermeer, because I love documentaries. I love movies. It's the story about this Dutch painter in the 1700s who
I think he did my great-granddad's bathroom.
No, not that Vermeer. My point is, before he started painting, his style of painting was unlike anything anyone had ever seen before he came along. There was so much light and brightness, and it was so distinctive, and the detail was unbelievable. No one could figure out how he did it. And this guy, Tim Jennison, came up with he used a mirror is how the guy did it. And it was optics, and it was kind of tracing, but it wasn't. And that's how he came up with this being so accurate. They couldn't tell some of his paintings. You can't tell from a photograph how he would paint in the 1700s. And no one could figure it out up until, and Penn and Teller did a, they produced,
oh, I gotta see this.
They produced it, and the tall one, Penn, narrates the documentary. But I've never been able to understand art on a level like that. And I sort of, you know, I see a picture and I go, oh, well, that's a nice picture. But I think that's the same way in comedy, that comedians don't, you know what I'm trying to say? Their palates are not.
You can enjoy it.
Yeah, we can enjoy it, but we can't. But it's so much. It's different than, you wouldn't want a room full of comedians as an audience, would you?
No, that would be terrifying.
Because then your version of a standing ovation would be a couple guys being like, that's real funny.
that's exactly funny. Right. That's so funny that I didn't laugh at
it's
that.
Like I was a
that
painter was in the 1700s, I would have needed to add a couple more greats to my grandfather.
That's right.
Just for anybody that's going to tweet into the podcast, this guy says he don't want to sound dumb. Then he says his great-granddad was born in the 1700s.
Great-great-granddad.
Great, 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 great.
So how did you and Joe meet? How did you, you were somewhere and you
we
saw?
We met.
J-date.
A J-date? Joe List, everybody.
Last Comic Standing.
We met at Last Comic Standing. Oh, yeah? Actually, we met briefly before that. We had the same management company years ago. But that was very brief. And then Last Comic Standing, we really hit it off.
Was it
2010?
It was 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
So we met at the semifinal round. Joe... Can you tell the thing about the...
Were you on last guy? I don't remember.
Can you tell the
story? I was not.
That's why I don't remember.
Joe, he's got a great story.
I was edited off the television show. I went and did the show. I went to the semifinals. I did it. I had just gone through a breakup at the time. And it was shortly after I did the Bob and Tom show. But I went through a breakup and I did Last Comic Standing. And you do the first round in front of the three judges. That's it. And they passed me on. And then you come back later that night and do a set in front of an audience. And then I passed on that night. They were like, going to L.A., the final comic, going to L.A. And they give you a big red ticket that's actually an empty envelope.
Right.
And I waved into the camera. I said, I miss you, Becca, to my ex-girlfriend. Because I was like, this is going to be big. She's going to watch it. She had moved away. She moved to South America. But she could watch it online. I was like, this is going to be my triumphant moment. I'm going to get her back.
A gesture, the grand gesture.
I miss you, Becca.
And then I went out to L.A., met Tommy. We did the semifinals in the big theater, the whole thing. And and then I didn't make it past that. Tommy did, of course. But I was still excited because I shot three different shows. And then I told everyone I knew. I told my ex-girlfriend, and I was like, this is going to be big. I was like, it's a special surprise in there for you, so make sure you watch.
Oh, gosh.
And then they completely edited me off the television show.
Oh,
like, top to bottom.
There's no memory. There's not even a shot of me once. And I just had to watch it. I was like watching as at an open mic. I was like, let me go down there and I'll show these kids a thing or two about comedy.
I can't wait till they're going to get a real kick when they see me on the TV. And
yeah.
I turn around and like, here I am.
Yeah, and we watched the full episode and everyone was just sort of looking at me like this. And a lot of people thought it was like a brilliant prank that I convinced people that I was on last. They were like, that was awesome. And I was like, no, seriously.
And no, seriously, I'm heartbroken.
So they didn't give you the courtesy to tell you?
No, obviously. No, they didn't tell me and nothing.
You believe that?
Well,
he thought he was on. He watched the next week.
I was like, surely I'm on the next week. I kept watching.
He thought that they had just moved him.
Certainly it's coming up here anytime. Well,
didn't Chad Daniels have a not as elaborate story? I think they passed him on to L.A. or whatever. And then after that was done, they said, sorry, I don't think you can. We're actually taking it away from you.
Right.
And so he told them, edit me out then. I don't want.
Yeah, well, his was. What was it? He moved on and then they took it away from him. Like he moved on from the round to the L.A. round. And then they said, actually, you're not coming to L.A. And then he said, well, edit me out of the whole show then. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened the season before our season. And so they made a point of saying this to us. They were like, everyone who moving on will move on. And to me, it seemed weird and sort of loaded. I was like, well, why would they say that? Of course. And so they were like, we're not making that mistake we made last time when we just told people they were going and then didn't go. So they did send everybody, but they cut them out.
Wow.
So I don't know what they're doing. They're filming now. They're doing a new season.
Okay, so,
I don't know.
Basically they told you that if you were told you were moving on, you're moving on, but we're not telling you you're going
to
be on TV.
Yeah.
We're not saying that.
They really loopholed everybody.
which is better because I got to meet Tommy. I made great friends. It was the most fun I've ever had in comedy. So they can't take away that. And I got a good Facebook
Turns
album.
Out that, I think they could. Yeah, they probably could.
Well, they told me I can't be friends with you anymore.
I'm sorry.
But anyways, our friendship has lasted since then, and I'm over it. My career has really picked up since then.
Joe has a great one-man show about that and the breakup.
Yeah, I went through a breakup and a bunch of other stuff.
The original title.
You have a one-man show? Joe?
I have a one-man show. I've done it a few times and hope to do it again. The original title of the show is There Will Be Pigs. but I had to change it because I guess it's very crass. When my girlfriend and I were breaking up, I don't want you to have sex with other people. I can't imagine you having sex with other people. And I was like, well, you're breaking up with me. If it was up to me, I would not have sex with other people. I'd have sex with you. And she was like, I know. And she was crying. And she's like, but I know there's going to be pigs.
There will be pigs.
Yes, and there were pigs. There were a lot of pigs. Can I say, this is a podcast, I can say
sure, fuck
pigs.
Sure, hey, go man, pigs.
Oh, great, yeah. So, yeah.
Big girls.
Yeah, big girls. Big girls do cry, by the way. That song is
Hey, big girls.
I knew a guy that his friends challenged him to sleep in a one month period.
I know this story and I don't like
to
it.
To sleep with a ton of women.
I don't like it.
An actual pound?
Yeah.
Wise?
So he had to document and estimate how much.
And they would take estimations, but
yeah.
How did they take proof? Did he have to take a picture or something?
No, I don't think there was a picture.
Do
involved.
I know this guy?
No.
Oh, good. I don't like him.
No. Yeah.
Oh, God, no. No.
That's
no.
Terrible.
How terrible is that?
Oh, yeah. He's a worthless individual. No, you'd never want to know him. No, I know him, and he's...
He's all right, but...
He's all right,
He was always up for a challenge, that's for sure.
Did he?
Oh,
he did it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he did it. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Wow.
I mean, why would...
I'm so bad at...
I think,
would that come from? Why would you go,
I would
okay.
feel like in my heyday, that's a little less than 20 good-looking girls.
Right.
I feel like I may have gone for quality in the bet.
Yeah.
Right.
I would have gone for...
It was more of a praise.
It was a ton?
You've slept with a ton of women.
Okay.
And it kind
of
went
No, I'm
that.
Saying, but a ton of
right.
women
All right, so that's
in pounds is about...
10 women. 200 pounds a woman?
If you go 115 a woman, you're getting, up to, 18, 15.
Yeah,
15.
Right.
I can do that over the course of a decade or so.
So was the, was,
was
a part
month.
Of the, it was a part
oh,
of the
month.
Bet. Was it part of the bet? They put a number on the women, or just
no? It was just the cumulative total, estimated total.
Wow.
Of the ladies.
I'm so bad at estimating weights, though, particularly women. I'd be like, she was probably 140, and meanwhile she weighs 210.
I don't think women are as dense as men.
No, they're less.
Yeah, they weigh. They can be big and not weigh as much as a guy that size, I think. I think that's a proven fact.
I don't know how much any woman weighs.
Oh, you're
I don't know how much my girlfriend weighs.
I bet your child's mother weighs, I'm going to say, 110, 115, somewhere around in there probably.
I wouldn't even know.
That's about how much my 13-year-old weighs.
It's I would say more than that.
You're 13. You would say more, she weighs more than that?
I would say 130.
130?
Would be my guess.
Okay, and you find out.
16 women at 125 pounds.
is 2,000 pounds.
I mean, there's not.
Give or take.
Not an outside. That could be possible.
And there will be no pigs.
No.
I wouldn't think. Yeah. I mean,
that's 16. That's about every other day.
I don't know how much my girlfriend weighs either.
I have no idea how much my girlfriend weighs. When we were having the baby, we would go in. I've never heard this. You have to weigh you because they want to make sure the baby's still in you and you're gaining the right amount of weight.
Right.
Were they weighed her? My girlfriend was like, don't tell me the number. So through the whole pregnancy, we did not know the number. I would just say, is she gaining enough weight, my girlfriend? Because the woman, if she's not gaining the right amount of weight, then the baby's not getting enough nutrients
nourishment.
And so they're like, yeah, she's gaining enough. She's perfect. But I didn't know how much she weighed before the pregnancy. I didn't know how much she weighed during.
So is this, she doesn't want you to know how much she weighs?
She doesn't want to know how much she weighs.
She doesn't know
how much she weighs.
Really?
Yeah.
She has no idea. This is fascinating.
Is that an LA thing, you think?
Has she always been that way?
Yeah, I believe so.
So she just goes with the size of the clothes she wears then?
Well, I mean, I think she works out and she eats well. And it, you know, to her is, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I don't even know if it's the way I look, but just the way I feel. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things of, I think she doesn't want to go, oh, I weigh this. I need to lose 8 pounds. When if it's like, well, I feel good. I look good. My clothes fit well. I don't need to lose that 8 pounds.
I can't imagine not knowing how much you weigh.
She probably hasn't known for 15 years. I think she looks great. I can pick her up. There.
Do you know how much you weigh?
No. I mean, no. I only weigh myself occasionally if there's a scale around, but I don't own a scale. And then hotels don't have scales.
What's the thing? You weighed at the gym that one time?
At the gym, yeah. Every once in a while at the gym. But I think I probably weigh about 160 and change.
Last time I was on,
I have no idea how much I weigh.
164. I was 164.9.
You were 164 right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but you probably are like me. You weigh yourself a lot. Like I weigh myself.
This trainer weighs me every week.
I weigh myself in the morning, and then I weigh myself when I get home.
Oh.
And then I weigh myself in the afternoon, and then but I've always had a weight problem.
My guy weighs me every week and checks my body fat to see. He goes, because you can lose weight. But then he can say you're not eating enough protein because you've lost weight, but your body fat is the same or gone up, which means you've lost muscle.
I've lost probably about almost 100 pounds this time.
You look great.
But I've lost that amount of weight how many times in my life? I'll tell you. I'm going to say 6 or 7 times.
You've lost 100 pounds.
6 or 7 times in my life.
Which means you've gained 100 pounds.
Yes, that's
one
exactly
less time
right.
than that.
Right. So far, one less time than that. Yeah.
My guy did this. I do this Lose It app where you just enter in the food you eat and the booze you drink.
Wait a minute, hang on.
And it's called Lose It.
Wait a minute, booze.
Lose It.
Booze can't affect weight, can
that's
it? What are you talking about?
So no. What this guy did is he lose did all my measurements and he gave me my resting metabolic rate. At the amount of calories my body burns.
Just hanging right now.
Just existing.
Right.
So anything you work out, it burns on top of that. So he said, just by living, being alive, my body burns 2,350 calories a day. He said, basically, so that means if you eat
2,000
calories a day.
Right.
If you eat 2,300, you won't gain weight. If you eat 2,000, you'll consistently lose weight. You get your protein at the right. And he goes, and then you add working out into that.
Right.
You're a healthy guy, but the number I like to know is if you don't eat more than 2350 for me, then I won't gain weight.
Right.
I may not be putting on the right amount of muscle. I may be losing. But the, in the at the end of the day, because I've done not 100, but from where I am now, I'm down to 164. And at one point, I was 210.
Okay, so that's significant. So
but
yeah.
What I did was I 210, and then I dropped down to, you know, 185 real fast, and then I was working out a bunch. I got down to 175, and then I just existed at 175, and then this trainer, now we're down to 164. But, you know, 210, probably a year and a half ago, so I've lost whatever in a year and a half.
Yeah, I've been this weight.
45 pounds.
I can't imagine you being 210.
Oh, it's
and
a
obviously,
lot, right?
I probably saw you here.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, if he's, he's very...
35 pounds?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I say, you know, 210 at, that's an estimate, and that's also not working out at all, so that's not any...
This is the first time, though, since I've been doing yo-yoing, or whatever you want to call it, I'm actually also, like, lifting and working out in a gym, and I've been doing that for over a year, so...
And the, I think the main thing with diet is, you have to find... That's what this guy is. He's like, just go for the calories. Try to get the right amount of, you know, take your vitamins. Try to get the right amount of protein. Eat some vegetables. But don't do one of these crazy diets that you won't be able to maintain long term.
Right.
That's what I do.
But, I mean, this time.
You're losing it the right way?
Well, no, not at all. I started. No, I just didn't eat for.
Well, that's not the right way at all.
No, no, that's not the right way at all. You know, like but I am, honestly, I am a, you've heard about stress eaters. Mm-hmm. I'm that way, but exactly the opposite. When I have stress or turmoil or problems or anything like that,
it's hurting. You're hurting.
I just don't eat, and I'm not hungry, so I don't know what the deal is.
So now,
but now
are you
I
happier?
Am,
happy?
I'm medium. I would say medium. Sometimes I'm sometimes I'm miserable, but not as often as I. You know, every day is a little better, I guess. That's not true, but it sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good.
Yeah,
that would be amazing if every day was better than the last.
Yeah, every day was better than the last. I'd be blithering idiot. Yeah. Not like now.
And how's your diet now?
You know what? This time, the one thing I've really noticed is it's amazing how much food I was putting away during a day. Like, today, I'll eat a meal, and like you said, when I go to Chipotle or whatever, I don't get the bowl or the burrito wrap or whatever. I do get the bowl, but I don't get the deep fried bowl for the Taco Bell or the taco salad, or the burrito to wrap. I just get the bowl, and I try not to have if I have a salad dressing on my salad, it's not ranch anymore. It's just like a vinaigrette or something. And, and that's another
small
thing that
changes.
Surprised me. Yeah, it's just you don't. You probably don't eat a lot of ranch dressing, do you, Jason?
I can eat whatever.
Yeah, but you have the metabolism of
Yeah, but I also, I eat three meals a day. I have a snack.
See,
you know,
I don't.
It's that I keep the...
I don't, I, if I eat
I don't
once,
spike.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if I eat once a day, that's okay for me. That's fine for me. That's a great day if I eat just once a day.
I'll do three meals and then some jerky, good source of protein, or a protein bar or shake.
I like jerky.
Feel good about my life.
The teriyaki jerky?
I get peppered.
Peppered jerky.
Joe List and I are real cookie guys.
Love a cookie.
Oh, what's your favorite cookie?
Chocolate chip. What other cookie you need?
I eat almost exclusively chocolate chip cookies.
Oatmeal raisin.
Get out of my podcast.
Boy. What? No. Wait a minute. Hang on. If you'll look.
I do not.
Really?
A chocolate chip cookie, if I'm eating any other cookie... At this point, a Thin Mint, is that a cookie?
Oh, I love a Thin Mint.
I don't like mint. I'm not a mint fan.
I don't
fan.
Know how we've been friends.
How have we known each other for so long?
Chocolate chip cookie. I'm trying to think. I literally maybe a double or triple chocolate chip cookie.
Maybe a double stuffed Oreo.
That's a I haven't nice had a cookie. Double stuffed Oreos in a long time because I can't
I
have
either,
milk.
But, oh, right.
And then what are you going to eat an Oreo without milk?
You won't tolerate lactose? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I can't. And it's a thing
you
of...
You don't like milk?
Just it upsets
well, milk's bad
my
for
belly.
Us, right?
It upsets my belly. It hurts my belly.
On my birthday was a few days ago. There's a place, a business called Milk and Cookies in New York City, and I went there. I brought all my friends there, and I got four chocolate chip cookies and a glass of milk, like a real child. And it was the most fun I've ever had.
Oh, I love it.
Do you remember? You remember plainly thinking when I grew up, I'm going to have cake for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then chocolate chip cookies for lunch, and, or in my case, oatmeal raisin.
Ice cream for dinner.
And then ice cream for dinner.
Oatmeal raisin. You've oatmeal raisin combined cookies. The worst of all cookies no! into one cookie. Oatmeal raisin's a cheap, it's a trick cookie because it looks like a chocolate chip cookie. It's a day ruiner.
I'm on such an oatmeal raisin high right now.
That's a good poop cookie.
I like it. It makes you move.
Yeah.
Where are you on kombucha and stuff like that?
I don't know what that means.
The
even.
Probiotic or whatever it is. It's a
To help like a lactase.
Yeah,
or something?
It's like a bacteria you put in your belly.
I'm on to almond. I've switched. I can have an almond chocolate milk. I have a small glass of
How
that.
How many almonds do you think they have to squeeze to get that much milk?
I didn't even know they had nipples. That's the other classic joke about almonds.
There it is, kids.
And milk. Here's my style of cookies.
All right.
There is the flat cookie. That it's a flat chocolate chip cookie that has like the layers of chocolate chips throughout. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like a thin layer. It looks like you're looking at how old the cookie is.
Right.
And then it's hard to make this one, but a thick cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, a thick cookie has a low chip to cookie ratio. There's a place by my house. I'm going to have to take Joe there. Mm-hmm. I'll take you there, but you eat awful cookies. I don't know where you get yours.
I'll have a chocolate
chip. It's a thick cookie.
Right.
It's the best thick cookie that you can get.
And it's a chocolate chip cookie. I like the mushy cookies.
Hot out of the oven. This is
I like
thick,
the mushy.
This thick.
I like a mushy too.
And mushy.
Mushy, yeah. I don't like the like a snickerdoodle. That's
I'm not eating a crispy cookie.
No crispy cookie.
Crispy cookie I eat is a Chip Ahoy. I like a Chip Ahoy. Other than that, I like a soft cookie.
Why are you chopping the S? Isn't it Chips Ahoy?
I think it's comical to say Chip Ahoy. Jerry Seinfeld's dad.
A Chip Ahoy.
Said Chip Ahoy. If I want Chip Ahoy, I'm going to have a Chip Ahoy.
Chip Ahoy. Ahoy. Chip Ahoy.
I mean, without milk, it's eliminated a lot of these. And now that I have almond milk, maybe I'll try some Oreos again.
Hmm.
Okay, so Tommy, you're let's say you...
What are we doing? We're going to talk about real stuff now?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is as real as it gets.
Create some heinous crime. They're going to put you to death.
Yeah.
Last meal.
What cookie?
Chocolate chip.
I know, but where's it coming from?
Mrs. Fisher's or...
Here's your top three cookies.
Blondie's cookies?
There's a place called Ashley's. Right down the road from...
Is that by your house?
Hermosa Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
Okay.
One of the best clubs in the country, right down the street. One of the best chocolate chip cookies in the country.
I don't think that's a mistake.
There is a chocolate chip cookie near my hotel that I stay at when I work the Punchline in San Francisco, right around the corner. Good, great comedy club. Amazing chocolate chip cookie. Both of these are of the thin persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
The other one may be this new cookie. They just opened this joint down the street from where I live. It's the thick cookie. Heavy on the chips.
So now when you went in there and you saw these cookies,
okay. Heather,
uh-huh.
My gal,
yeah.
Got me two of them for my birthday last week or whenever that was.
Yeah, whenever that was.
And I mean, I'm talking fresh out of the oven. They're amazing. I opened them a day after they were bought. The chip's still gooey. The cookie's still soft.
No way.
And it's mind-blowing.
Is it a chain?
No, it's just opened by a husband, wife, or maybe just a woman, just baking cookies there.
Man.
Joe, you got a top three cookie?
I like Milk and Cookies in Greenwich Village. I like Starbucks new cookies, the La Boyange.
I'm unfamiliar with these.
They have a new
I'm a sucker for the lemon pound cake at Starbucks.
I also like Panera's small cookie is my favorite cookie. The chocolate chipper.
From Panera.
They have a big cookie, which is delicious. Then they have a little cookie, and you can get a bag, like 12 of them. They're like $5 for 12 cookies. It's a lot.
The problem with the bag is you get 12 cookies, and you eat 8 or 9 cookies.
That's a problem for you, not me. I eat them right up.
You just never gain weight, do you, Joe? You're just there.
I gain weight. I have a good metabolism, I guess, but I run around a lot, but... I get all stomach weight. I just have a belly. It doesn't distribute ever.
Hmm.
But I think I'm lucky, very lucky. Hey, but I eat terrible.
I'm just remembering. I got a bone to pick with you, Thomas Aloysius Jonigan. You were the reason that the Vegas trip last year fell apart. Are you aware of that?
Oh boy.
Oh, uh huh.
What yeah. Vegas trip?
Okay. Well,
the
maybe,
Vegas trip.
Maybe Chad is. Because Chad Daniels came on the show last year about this time, and we said, you know what would be fun? go out to Vegas
yeah.
in like the second or third week of the NFL season, not opening weekend because you get everybody.
I would love that. I would love it right now.
So we go, well, let's go out to Vegas. Like last year it was September 27th. We're going to go out to Vegas, for get there on a Friday, party it up, be guys, go yeah. watch the games on Sunday, stay over till Monday.
Let's and be then, guys.
Yeah. But he told me that you were booked on the and you couldn't move your gig or something last year.
Well, I may have been. If I'm booked, I rarely move it. But
oh, really?
I also
and I guess Joe could come if we could.
I don't like him blaming me for this.
He said Tommy and who else? Could, and Warren. You were both blamed, I believe.
Well, let's get our calendars together
right now. I think we
let's
should.
Put this on the books.
And you were going too, Jason.
Yeah, I know,
I
but
you're out.
I know.
Chick, you're out, Jason. Chick, Joe's in. Jason's out. No, I'm kidding.
No, I know Chick, and sometimes he'll have a great idea and want to do something. All right, who else? Because we had lunch. I remember exactly.
We had like seven or eight guys going.
We texted, and I'm sitting there thinking, this isn't going to happen.
I text you when I got the text.
You got
and
the
I'm
text,
in.
Right?
I said I'm in.
I thought he said he was in.
But later...
Yeah,
Chad I never said, heard confirmation.
You
of
picked.
That.
It was like
I picked the only day that you weren't booked.
Well,
I
know that that's the week of my daughter's birthday. I don't remember exactly.
Maybe
so
that might
what's
be
her birthday?
21st.
Oh, I have a 23rd on the September. Yeah.
How old's this kid?
Oh, well, she's 10.
Oh,
they you know they get like old like that.
Oh,
I don't want her to get old.
And I got one that's 22 or something crazy now.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. What's she doing? College?
Yeah, you can't stand me. He's a good judge of character, actually.
She is very good, actually.
I don't want this kid to grow up at all.
Oh, no. That's what I told my 10-year-old as she was growing up. I'm like, listen, don't get any bigger.
Oh,
just stay like this, and we'll be fine.
The boy, I look at him, and I remember plainly he had the Land's End onesie, the stripes. It was just like,
it's
yeah, that's
so,
him.
I look at my daughter. She's 18 months old.
You are,
I think, you know, in no time, she's going to be... You know,
and then that
we're gonna have to fight in the lawn.
The next few years are so awesome.
Why don't you go out there and fight? No, and then yesterday the one in the Land's End onesie that I remember, he'd fall over and I'd put him back, mm-hmm. set him back up. He calls me, he goes, "Hey, why don't you and I go to Philly in June, and we go by the fucking bar over there that Always Sunny in Philadelphia is based on? Wouldn't that be cool?
Are you gonna go?"
Well, yeah, I think I'm gonna go. Actually,
you
gotta go.
He wants to go.
He wants to drive. I don't know how long a drive it is, but
to Philly,
it's not that far.
It's not far.
I'm gonna say 10 hours.
10 hours,
from
not
here.
That far. I mean, 10 hours maybe.
I think more money. I think it's probably like 13 hours.
It's probably 10 to 12 easy.
What are you, Rain Man?
Yeah. I was gonna say 20.
I'm with him.
I was gonna say
13.
I think Dayton to New
it's
York, I did
digits.
In about 11 hours.
You know, I was gonna say 42 hours, but I thought it sounded high. So
we,
it's less than that.
That's cross country, what you're thinking. Dean and I, drove from here to Washington, D.C. for one of the Clinton inaugurations. I'm not sure which one. I want to say
Bill.
92.
It was Bill.
Stop it. And it took.
It was either 92 or 96.
It was one of those numbers. I'm going to say 92, and it took us 12 hours now that I think
there
about
you
it.
Go. I think you should do that.
Yeah.
I love Philadelphia.
My kid, when you were saying you just set him up,
they tip over a lot. That's what I remember.
You know, from a very young age, I would give her gentle pushes and tip her.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? So when she would sit up, first of all, when she was on the changing table, I would grab her. She would grab my two fingers with her one hand on each finger.
Right.
And I would do little sit-ups with her.
Little baby
crunches.
Sit-ups, yeah.
I'd be like up. And she'd do little baby crunches. And then when she started sitting up, I would just give her a light just to kind of rock her.
Yeah.
And then so she could balance herself. And then it leads to her falling over a lot. And then I swear to God, to now she's walking. She started walking at 9 months. And she never hits her head. She does those baby, like gets too fast falling over. But I can come up to her right now and give her a pop. And she just catches her. She's got such good balance. And I can push her down now. And she loves it. The whole thing's been training. She doesn't even know it.
If Jess were here, she would tell you with her kids, she used to, and they would love it. I think they still love it to this day. They'll be sitting on the bed primarily, and she'll take their palm their head and shove them backwards, and they just laugh their asses off. They think that's the funniest thing ever. And I'm fine.
I'm a fan. I give her like
it sounds like you got
those,
a book here.
It's like a blocking drill.
Yeah.
For football players, I just give her light ones, and then she just always balances. And then you give her a hard one, and she tips over, and she loves it. I did get her good the other day on accident. I got her a little too hard and she flew, but she still laughed. But before she laughed, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, don't tell your...
Yeah.
That mother, wherever the heck she is.
Heather's like, you're treating her like a boy. Which I don't. I mean, I baby her more than anybody should.
Well, you made the good point, though.
But sometimes I do boy her up.
Boys are, from the get-go, boys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are like, they're mixing it up.
We had some of her play friends over, and the girls just lightly, gently kissing each other, hugging.
Yeah.
And there's boys, just whatever they could do. One of them just took like a little, Harper has little pots and, pans. And just throws them at a nanny who's holding an infant. Like, literally, baseball chucks it.
Gosh. Are you ever embarrassed that you're a boy? I'm kind of...
I'm embarrassed that I'm a boy instead of a man all the time.
I think I'm emotionally...
Oh, you're emotionally a woman.
I'm emotionally absolutely. A woman, absolutely.
Yeah, like too. A really bad woman.
Are you, Joe? A bad woman, really? Son of a bitch.
I love Sleepless in Seattle and When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, gosh. I haven't seen either one of those movies.
Oh, really? Terrific. I have them in my bag if you want them. Travel with both of them. VHS or DVD? What's your pleasure?
I avoided watching The Notebook for as long as I could.
Oh, I love that one.
Oh, my God.
What about your mouse pad there?
Oh, and my favorite movie of all time. Have you ever seen Somewhere in Time?
No,
with,
I don't
with
think
Christopher
so.
With Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, I know about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, he's a time traveler or something, and he goes back to...
It's a hell of a love story.
Jane Seymour, it's a hell of a love story.
I've seen Back to the Future a bunch of times.
It's the same thing, only instead of Michael J. Fox, it's Jane.
It's Superman.
No, it's Christopher Reeve, yeah. And when he could walk.
Right.
And,
well, they both had some tough goes of it.
They're not going to drag him through the hotel. That's not a love interest.
Who's the woman?
Jane Seymour.
What was her tough go? She had a tough go?
No, I meant Michael J. Fox and Christopher Reeves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Apparently time traveling's bad on the body.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you did say she had a tough go. What are you talking about? She's just not...
No, I meant those two, Christopher Reeves and Michael J. Fox.
Oh.
One of them was paralyzed, and the other one has Parkinson's.
Right.
This joke
right.
I was going for.
And his show just got canceled.
That's even worse.
I was uncomfortable watching that.
I think the network executives did not understand what it was going to be like as a comedy audience watching a dad dealing with... a degenerative disease who actually has that in real life.
On the surface, I'm on board, for...
He did great in Curb.
Yeah.
It was a fun moment. He was filthy. But you weren't watching this emotional kind of dad sitcom.
Right.
Where in your mind you go, well, he's literally getting worse in real life.
And for better or worse, and I'm saying for better, Michael J. Fox is almost America's sweetheart. I mean,
he is.
People
love
the guy.
It's so hard to
guy.
Watch him be hard, in that position.
It's hard to see him
feel,
that way.
You yeah. feel bad, you love him, but you feel bad.
Hmm. So would you...
get Parkinson's for a sitcom?
Yeah, what wouldn't you do to get a sitcom? No, you don't want a sitcom, though, do you?
I would take a sitcom because I think it would help... ticket sales for stand-up, and then eventually lead to the opportunity to have my own talk show.
Here's what I
host my own show.
Here's what I don't like on sitcoms.
Oh no!
Like George Lopez, great guy. He's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. But he wrote his sitcom was about what he. I mean, he was an airplane factory worker. Whatever. It was all very autobiographical. Yeah. I'm not behind that. Why didn't he just come up with a different idea? And make that the part of the sitcom instead of so autobiographical.
Well, I don't understand
what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying you don't like that it was about his real life,
right? Why doesn't he just do? I think he's doing that now with St. George or whatever. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. But like, would you automatically be drawn to writing a sitcom about? A kid driving with his dad an over the road trucker.
Yeah, that would be an idea. I would do a relationship show about my real relationship. I think that's just my style of stand-up is about my real life. So if I had a TV show, if it were a sitcom, it would be somewhat based in truth because I can write that.
Although maybe I've talked myself out of this now because I'm thinking I like
Seinfeld.
And that was...
Do you like Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yeah, Raymond.
Didn't like
one
Raymond.
That's a little more
Didn't like
real.
Raymond.
Did you like...
Didn't care Raymond. Didn't care for Raymond. Joe, you like Everybody Loves Raymond?
I've never really seen the show, but Seinfeld I'm obsessed with and reference it almost every sentence that I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seinfeld is pretty much...
And that was
perfect. Yeah. That was pretty much his life, right?
Yeah. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I like, well,
some
yeah,
version
like
of an autobiographical
Curb.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Every Liz Raymond was very well written. I kind of, over time, got to where I could not tolerate his wife.
Yes.
I think I've heard that's bitchy not, yeah. is easier to write, and mm-hmm. they just made her real bitchy.
I used to like The King of Queens until...
And they always lean to bitchy. And then then it gets to the point where, like, well, these two shouldn't be together.
Yeah, and then, but there was always that nugget of, and they, you know, you could tell that she cared for him in the show, but then it almost went away just as fast as it happened.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like that.
This has been my complaint, is that there's no good shows based around comedians.
There aren't any good sitcoms on television right now. And
correct.
I don't
is
count Veep.
Sitcom?
I don't count Veep because that's on HBO.
Okay.
And but
on
it is
network
but
TV.
It's incredible. Veep is incredible. So why can't there be there are no good
I think
none.
Modern Family's a good one on ABC.
Yeah, sometimes.
At least the first couple seasons were great. It's
right.
a slide off a little bit because they've fallen into making the female characters are more bitchy. Mm-hmm. It's just gone on. But, you know, I tried to put a good sitcom on. They didn't buy it.
Like that Two Broke Girls thing? And I honestly, and I tried to watch that. Didn't care for it.
I haven't. I've only seen them.
There's no way I'm watching that.
Mom, have you watched Mom? Is that what it's called?
I have not seen Mom.
With a great Allison Janney and Anna Faris. I love both. But
funny?
Not funny. Not funny.
Haven't seen it.
Not funny.
What about Big Bang? That's the biggest one,
don't
right?
Don't like it. Don't care for it.
I'm not on board with that one.
No, don't like
I
it.
I was on early, but
no,
I jumped off halfway.
No more?
Yeah.
What shows do you, destination do you watch? On live TV now, not like series and stuff. Other than sporting events and the news.
Yeah.
What do we watch when it's happening?
Live television.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a one thing.
No.
I got a baby. I'm not going to be able to watch TV. You know what I do? Sometimes we watch the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse comes on early. Sometimes we watch that live.
Oh, I've watched that.
Joe, you don't have a child. You know that, right?
Oh, shit.
Are you like Dora Explorer, stuff like that? What's she like?
No, no, no. We watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and Ella Elephant. And then, I mean, I say we, within the last 2 weeks.
You're dropping these names like Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, you know.
In the last 2 weeks, she started watching TV, and we watch it. And it's mainly because she wakes up at 6:30. She comes into our bed. She either falls back asleep to 7 or 7:30, or she stays awake. And if she stays awake, I'll put Ella the Elephant or Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on, and she just sits in our bed and watches TV while I'm waking up or still falling asleep.
I plainly remember when my son was born, my wife at the time having this meeting like, we're not going to be those parents who let the television be the babysitter.
Yeah.
We're not going to buy him guns. And we're going to have a diaper service.
Diaper service.
All these things that we're going to be there, right? I think it was, I don't know, 6 months in, he had all the Barney videos. We were off the diaper service, and he was out and back.
What's diaper service?
It was like they actually come with real cloth diapers, like X number a week, and you use real diapers with them.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
She's 18 months old, just started watching TV, and she watches like an episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse if she wakes up and just watches it in the bed. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the day, she's starting to ask for it, which is kind of, it makes you hurt. So
yeah.
I say our rule is like she can get 2 episodes a day, which seems like a long time for a kid to watch TV, an hour. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't sit. And I think we're preserving the iPad for an airplane. And
she does do the iPad, though.
Only on an airplane.
Only on an airplane. But, I mean, it's intuitive, and isn't that amazing?
She knows it because on my phone, she's so vain, or whatever you want to call it. In the morning, she grabs my phone, it's by the bed, and she goes, pictures of the baby. Oh. And they're all her. So we just look through pictures of her on my phone. She goes, tiny baby.
Is that vanity, you think? Or is it just curiosity?
I don't know. I think there's a point when the baby's really little, she doesn't know it's her. And then there is a point where you get to the right age and the pictures. And she's like, Harper.
Aren't there studies where they like the repetition of watching the same shows over and over again? It feeds some
she
sort of...
She definitely does.
Feeds some sort of... It makes them feel secure. I don't... Am I right on that, Joe?
I don't know. I know very little about children or television. I feel I feel dumb.
So
I don't know.
Got
I got
like
nothing.
You've got like all the Seinfeld episodes on DVD, and you watch those.
Yes, I watch Seinfeld and sports, and that's about it.
Sports fan? What sports fan?
Big
you know,
sports
Tommy
fan.
Here, the Cardinals and the damn
Niners,
and
I'm a big all things Boston, big Boston Red Sox fan. I love the Boston Bruins. I'm a big hockey fan. And I like the Celtics and the Patriots, and I love college sports the
have
most.
Have you seen the video online about the hockey team, the minor league hockey team, somewhere in Canada, and they have some sort of state-of-the-art video presentation for the ice, and it projects onto the ice, and it looks like the moose is busting through the ice.
No.
And it turns into water. And
oh,
then the
I'm
moose,
Google this.
Yeah, the moose freezes it again, and then it looks like a pinball machine, and then the team comes out, and
wow,
it fired me up, and I'm not.
I
gotta
see this.
Yeah. They love their hockey up there.
Yeah, to hell with this podcast. Let's go watch that video.
Joe knows everything, Larry Bird and Boston, and.
Really?
Yeah, we know a lot. Well, no, I don't know about everything, but
you know,
there was,
Larry Bird is in the same zip code right now, I would think, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well,
French
he's downtown Lick? At least, or where were they on
I
the road
think he,
last night?
Yeah, but I think he lives.
Oh, and they're in Miami, so
yeah, he lives near here.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, he lives. I would say within 5 miles of here. Used to anyway. I know.
There used to be Larry Bird Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Like
in
south
Martinsville.
Of here. Yeah,
Martinsville.
South of here.
Mm-hmm.
When the Celtics won in 81, my uncle drove to French Lick, Indiana and put a Miller Lite beer can in his mailbox.
And just drove away.
He didn't wait to meet him or he didn't want to bother him. He just wanted to give him a beer.
But can you see?
What a crazy person.
Well, a full
the best thing
beer?
I've ever heard.
What's that?
A full can of
yeah,
beer?
Yeah, yeah.
He
I
brought Larry Bird
warm
a beer.
And soiled.
I love it.
Larry loves, from what I understand, I think Larry likes a beer every now and then.
Yeah. I
wow.
love Larry Bird.
He seems like the guy that would get it and would have drank it. He would have gone to the mailbox and been like, oh.
Well, it's still,
if I know him like I think I do.
It's full, yeah.
Unopened? Drink it.
So I love Boston. I don't follow sports that closely, though, the play. I just like the game. I like men physically competing against each other under a rules. I don't like any of the off-season stuff or the interviews or the transactions or the pregame or the postgame.
Because it's, what is it?
It's a lot of nonsense.
Just under 1 month until the NFL draft, and I can't wait.
See, I won't watch. I'll follow
it
lightly. But I do want to see Draft Day, the Kevin Costner movie.
Just shut up. You don't.
But I think it'll be so bad. I like watching bad movies.
How does stuff like that get made? I mean, it gets back to our why aren't there funnies. Situation comedy is on television and regular television. How did they make?
I think that they're just like
it's millions of dollars.
I think this is how the industry works. They're like the NFL is the most popular thing in the country. Let's make a movie about the NFL, then that's it. That's the whole process.
I wish it was because they've obviously gotten the rights from the NFL because in the trailer you can see the teams and the jerseys. I wish it were about the. Patriots draft or the 49ers draft, teams that draft well. It's about the Browns. I'm gonna watch a 2-hour movie about how Brad and Whedon
stinking it up.
I saw
disappointing everybody.
I saw Bill Belichick last weekend in Hartford, Connecticut. I was walking and I saw him with his family, and I don't get starstruck very often, but
I hear honestly, I've heard that Belichick is a great guy.
Did you speak to him?
I waited. He was doing a thing with the valet, and he had two kids there. I assume they were his kids or his newish wife's kids. It's his second wife. And she was pretty. They were all standing there. They were doing some sort of transaction. And I was walking with another comedian who's not a sports fan. He didn't know who Bill Belichick was, and my heart was fluttering. I was like, this is the greatest coach in history. And I was like, I gotta say something. So I had
Bill Walsh was there?
I think Bill Belichick is a
Paul
superior
Brown was
coach.
There?
I think he's the
Joe
most.
Joe Gibbs was right there.
He's got 5 Super Bowls, 2 as defensive coordinator, 3 in an era where they designed the league not to have dynasties. He won 3 out of 4.
That's true.
Joe Gibbs
did win before free. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
He looked up and I said, "Hi, coach," and he said, "Nothing."
He looked at you though.
He looked at me and went.
Definitely
made
heard
a
you.
Face.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He furrowed his brow.
He just sort of was like a confused.
Did he
look.
Think you were a player? He's like, he called me coach.
He must have thought I was a kicker.
I was going to say, yeah, you're.
And although I have beefed
don't
up
have a
recently,
football build. I don't know what your 40
that's
is.
That's insensitive.
But, okay.
Sorry. And then his wife waved like she was like a I know it's weird. So maybe he was in a mood or something, or he had just hit her.
I wish he would have said something nice.
I know. I wanted him to be like, come have dinner with us. But what? I was weird. And,
or somewhere in between what you wanted and what happened.
Right. Well, whatever.
Anything.
But it was quite a thrill.
Hey, coach.
It was the highlight of my entire life.
Maybe you should reach out to
me. I got to do something for the 49ers with Al Madrigal and David Huntsberger and Dan Soder, all funny comedians.
No kidding.
And we get to go to the new stadium, and we're in the cafeteria.
Are you going to tell me you met like all the 49ers?
No, I'm going to tell you what happened was we're in there, and they're telling the story. They're like, it's in the new stadium. It's the new cafeteria. They're practicing there, and
they're practicing in the cafeteria?
No. So, and then it's the new, they just built this new cafeteria. It's great food.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Harbaugh comes in there, and I don't even know how it happened, but he just goes to the drinks and then looks at the head chef guy and he goes, "You don't have chocolate milk?" And then walks out. And then the next day they have a chocolate milk machine. So I'm standing there with my tray. They just told that story. And I'm walking to the trash can. I'm facing away from who I'm talking to, which is not polite. And I go, "Does Harbaugh ever come in here?" And I turn around and I'm literally keeping Jim Harbaugh from going somewhere. Which if you've ever seen anything about him, he's in a hurry 100% of the time.
Yep.
So I'm literally just moseying through the cafeteria looking around, but I'm blocking the only way to the door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, "Does Harbaugh ever come in here?" And then he's right there in my face, and then just barely looks at me, and then just bolts.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't have a hello moment, but I was like, "Huh? Why was him? Why don't we have chocolate milk?"
Where's the chocolate milk?
Joe, how do you take it when people go do the accusatory thing? Well, the Patriots had to take video of the other team to win a couple Super Bowls.
Well, it's since come out in football. This didn't get covered by the media, but that everyone was doing very similar things. And the people that inside the NFL actually hate is the
Mangini
for ratting him out for doing a thing that every team does. And they had a lot of success before and after that.
I don't care for Mangini on the shows now. Don't,
he's
don't
awful.
Care for him. He's bad.
Mangini,
I don't know if he's awful or bad, but I just don't care for him. So everything he does to me is awful.
I do not care for him. Maybe he's not awful or bad. I will agree with Chick.
Yeah.
I think the thing about exactly what Joe said. Everyone was doing it for the year after they went, 18-1. I'm not even a fan. I would have liked to have seen 19-0, but Mangini is just. That makes me not like anything that guy does. Is you were on the team, mm-hmm. so you knew they did it. Then you snitch on them, and now no one can do that. That's essentially when they, I don't know the full history, but coaches would bring in lip readers before guys would hold the play thing
up against their face.
It's just a version of we're getting an edge. We're skirting the rule.
Gamesmanship is what they call it sometimes.
And how much
stealing signs is part of the game in baseball? Yeah.
I shot heard around the world.
Yeah, right.
Stolen signs.
I think the biggest, somebody not on that team when the story broke. They were saying, I don't know really how much it would help because. Watching them in practice, you know all of the stuff that you're seeing from film. So when you're saying, we would call a certain play and they would know it, what you're saying is they would call a play that would be into the defense. So by the time it's into the defense, we're talking a matter of seconds, that now your person is reading the sign and then radioing it in to your guy.
Right.
So there's no way because you can only talk to the quarterback for
It cuts off
six
after,
seconds or something crazy.
I want to say I thought it was closer to 10, but I think they cut the helmet off and I don't know how you could have effectively.
It doesn't. Yeah,
maybe a couple plays during a game you would have been. Well, maybe what? Maybe that would have been. Who knows?
But I think
he's on the. Have you ever watched NFL Network? They have a Football Life.
I haven't seen Belichick's.
There's documentaries. Is Belichick?
Belichick has one.
I just watched Jimmy Johnson's, and he and Belichick hang out all the time on his boat.
Wow.
I can't imagine Belichick hanging out with anybody.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was interesting, because he really was relaxed.
He's just in flip-flops.
I've always heard that he's just a fun guy, but
sort of a small guy. He's short. He's like Maybe not short, but he's shorter than I am.
He's 5 feet, right?
Yeah, he's, I think he's 4'11", but they call him 5 feet on the sheet.
That's why he cuts the sleeves off. It makes him feel better. Makes him feel like he's busting out of that
so
chair.
The sleeves aren't just dragging down.
That's the problem. Well,
2 points. One, I know some of the best times I've seen with him is, you know, when the players are on the field, they're just kind of stretching out, and he's walking around talking to them.
Yeah.
You could see why, you know, they like playing for him. But conversely, didn't somebody just come out who played with the Patriots say that they he called that his time there was 4 years a slave?
Oh, shit.
In reference to Belichick. Yeah.
Yikes.
That's a nice thing to minimize.
Yeah.
Slavery.
I know. God. I can't believe you didn't see that.
I was a slave making $1 million a year.
Yeah, they always think, oh, well, this
he's
is worse.
A white guy.
They say, well, this is just like slavery, or this is worse than Hitler, or this is worse than the Holocaust. And like, dude, you have no idea what you're talking
about. The closest thing we have to slavery is college sports.
Yeah. What about that? Union. You a union guy? Your dad a union guy?
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking with the union.
Oh, there you go.
I think that they should pay the guys
what about the scholarship being a form of payment?
Scholarship is a form of payment, but it would essentially it has been the form of payment for decades, and college athletics has grown by the billions of dollars. So why is a guy today making the same thing he would have made when it wasn't generating that? And also, saying the scholarship is payment is saying that there's the maximum amount of money they can make. The maximum you can make is the scholarship. And even if you call that a form of payment, there's nothing else in the country that when you get a job, they say you can only make this. They have a minimum, but there's no maximum. There's, you know, it's, you know, the fact that the NCAA and the colleges should be paying them because of the amount of money they're making. And then outside of that, they should be able to do endorsements. Johnny Manziel could have made a few million bucks last year while he was in Texas.
He might have.
For McDonald's or Nike would have paid him.
Who tweeted that? Somebody said, how did Manziel get into the McDonald's club before LeBron?
I did see that.
Did you see that?
I saw that same tweet.
I forget it. What?
I think they played it on SportsCenter or something. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I heard it. You know, if someone buys a jersey that your number's on the back, you know, give that kid
That's a famous. Have you
Chris
seen Weber? The Chris Webber story?
Couldn't
the Fab
afford
Five?
His own jersey.
Yeah, the Fab Five documentary, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. They say him and Jalen Rose and Jimmy King were going into McDonald's and they walked past the sporting goods store and all their jerseys were in this and they had just enough money to go get burgers at McDonald's. That's not fair. Something
that's not fair. And then if we're talking pay them, a lot of people have the argument of,
if you're gonna pay the athletes,
you're gonna pay the college football player at Auburn the same as you pay the college player in Finley, and it's like, well, does the coach make the same? We're fine with the discrepancy in payment there.
Yeah, like how much does what's his face make? Nick Saban
$5 million.
A year. So I mean, he's
$5
being taken care of.
Did you see this? I retweeted this. It was from Deadspin. The game-winning shot Harrison hit to send Kentucky to the Final Four kicked in bonuses for coaches and ADs, $358,000 in bonuses.
Yeah, and I saw on Deadspin that Calipari lost $375,000 because he didn't win the championship. His bonus would have kicked in on his contract. Had he would have gotten $375,000.
He only makes $5 million.
Well, 375. Well, in his bracket, that would be 160,000.
It's like you and I dropping a 20, right?
Or keeping $29,000 in my car.
So this guy, we got to pay these college athletes. And when we're saying pay them, it's if you're at a small school, your form of payment remains the scholarship. And if you're at a major program, you can't not pay some guys as a punishment because we're literally in the billions of dollars generated.
The TV contracts and
it
runs.
These lawsuits are going going to be real good. Yeah. The antitrust one is a big one. The
Sherman.
The rights where they own your rights for life.
Rights for life.
Well, if the video games, they're not paying these guys for video games.
That's
a big lawsuit going on.
Well, but I thought the NFL players settled for that, didn't they?
The NFL players settled the concussion one.
No, but I think they settled with EA Sports or something.
Well, EA Sports, NCAA stopped working with EA Sports. They stopped releasing that game.
You know, I haven't seen the college football thing out now that you mention that. You're right.
It's done.
I'm not a gamer.
The NCAA is as dirty as they come.
Headquartered right here.
You know, they can drive over here.
They could drive it in their real nice cars.
The guy running it lives here, and he's...
$1.7 million that guy makes. Mm-hmm.
You know, that... I've heard a lot of not very nice things about that gentleman.
Hmm. Well, the fact that he mainly is... He's not paying predominantly black athletes, and he makes almost $2 million a year, plus all these travel incentives, makes people... I think he's a terrible guy.
I'll give you another story. Story number two. Uh-oh. on off the air.
Off the air? About mm-hmm. that?
Mm-hmm. Write it down, because I don't want you to forget
it. No, I got both of them right here.
We have to wrap up this.
Yeah, we need to wrap up anyway. Gotcha.
So we can hear all the good stories. Mm-hmm. Why would we say this on the podcast?
Well, you said it. We didn't.
Yeah,
I just alluded, didn't I?
I alluded.
Off the air. Off the air is a paid...
I wish, yeah. Why can't we
do... This could go for forever. Off the air.
You just blew my mind. How do I find out about Joe List on the internet
thing? You can follow me on Twitter, at Joe List Comedy, and then I have a website, comedianjoelist.com, which I know they're switched, but I had a previous web guy that I couldn't afford to pay, so I had to duck and run. I got some money issues. So tweet me at Joe List Comedy.
That's no problem. Follow him and follow Tommy Johnigan at Tommy Johnigan.
Tommy Johnigan.
And I could have sworn there was no H in your last name, but apparently there is.
Oh, there is an H.
There didn't used to be. They added it.
That's what I thought.
It moves you into a higher tax bracket.
And what's your website there, boy?
TommyJComedy.com. The new and improved TommyJComedy.com.
No kidding. I always like that picture where you're scratching your head. That's a great picture.
That may still be on there.
No new pictures.
All right. Need a photographer.
All right. Go see Tommy and Joe when they come to your town, please. And thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Jess will be back next week.
Got to.
Or next podcast or whenever we do this. Should we do this? Oh, we need to hear Solomon Burke a little bit, don't we? That's what we need. Yeah, a little Solomon Burke. Hit it.
Is Arthur here?
Yeah.
Is Joe here?
Yeah.
Where's Solomon?
Right here.
Where's Solomon? Here. Don coming in now, man.
Come on in the door.
23 kids.
How have I never heard this guy? Thank you, Tommy. Thank you.
Download that album. Change your life.
Thanks for downloading the Off the Air podcast. Tell your friends. Much too high. And I'm just barely making enough money trying to get back.